Hi, welcome back to our podcast, Resistance GT. I'm happy to have everybody here. And as of today, I have something very special for you. This is just a few of the chapters that we're going to have. Today, I have something very interesting to give you guys, which is a little different than before. This is going to be compound in three different audios. This is the first chapter. And today I have one of my favorite books to read you, and it's called The Art of Communication, but by Thich Nhat Hanh. A little introduction about Thich Nhat Hanh. He was a monk for several years, right? And he brought many books, up to 20 different books, and some of them being New York best-selling author. So without further ado, guys, I hope you enjoy this beautiful book that help us understand the meaning of how to communicate with other people and with ourselves. Let's get started. Chapter 1. Essential food. Nothing can survive without food. Everything we consume acts either to heal us or to poison us. We tend to think of nourishment only as what we take in through our mouths. But what we consume with our eyes, our ears, our noses, our tongues, and our bodies is also food. The conversations going on around us and those we participate in are also food. Are we consuming and creating the kind of food that is healthy for us and help us grow? When we say something that nourishes us and uplifts the people around us, we're feeding love and compassion. When we speak and act in a way that causes tension and anger, we're nourishing violence and suffering. We often ingest toxic communication from those around us and from what we watch and read. Are we ingesting things that grow our understanding and compassion? If so, that's good food. Often, we ingest communication that makes us feel bad or insecure about ourselves, or judgmental and superior to others. We can think about our communication in terms of nourishment and consumption. The internet is an item of consumption, full of nutrients that are both healing and toxic. It is so easy to ingest a lot in just a few minutes online. This doesn't mean you shouldn't use the internet, but you should be conscious of what you are reading and watching. When you work with your computer for 3 or 4 hours, you're totally lost. It's like eating French fries. You shouldn't eat French fries all day, and you shouldn't be on the computer all day. A few French fries, a few hours, are probably all most of us need. What you read and write can help you heal. So be thoughtful about what you consume. When you write an email, when you send a letter, that is full of understanding and compassion. You're nourishing yourself during the time you write that letter. Even if it's just for a short note, everything you're writing down can nourish you and the person to whom you are writing. Consuming with mindfulness. How can you tell what communication is healthy and what is toxic? The energy of mindfulness is a necessary ingredient in healthy communication. Mindfulness requires letting go of judgment, returning to an awareness of the breath and the body, and bringing your full attention to what is in you and around you. This helps you notice whether the thought you just produced is healthy or unhealthy, compassionate or unkind. Conversation is a source of nourishment. We all get lonely and want to talk with someone. When you have a conversation with another person, What that person says may be full of toxins like hate, anger, and frustration. When you listen to what others say, you are consuming those toxins. You are bringing toxins into your consciousness and your body. That's why mindfulness of speaking and mindfulness of listening are very important. Toxic conversations can be difficult to avoid, especially at work. If it is going on around you, be aware. You need to have enough mindful awareness not to absorb this kind of suffering. You have to protect yourself with the energy of compassion so that when you listen, instead of consuming toxins, you're actively producing more compassion in yourself. When you listen in this way, compassion protects you and the other person suffer less. You absorb the thoughts, speech, and actions you produce and those contained in the communications of those around you. That is a form of consumption. So when you read something, when you listen to someone, you should be careful not to allow the toxins to ruin your health and bring suffering to you and to the other person or group of people. To illustrate this truth, the Buddha used the graphic image of a cow that has a skin disease. The cow is attacked by all kinds of insects and microorganisms consuming from the soil, coming from the trees, coming from the water. Without skin, a cow can protect herself. Mindfulness is our skin. Without mindfulness, we may take in things that are toxic to our body and mind. Even when you simply drive your car through the city, you consume the advertisement hit your eyes and you are forced to consume them. You hear sounds. You may even say things that are the products of too much toxic consumption. We have to protect ourselves with mindful consumption. Mindful communication is part of this. We can communicate in such a way as to solidify the peace and compassion in ourselves and bringing joy to others. Relationships don't survive without the right food. Many of us suffer because of difficult communication. We feel misunderstood, especially by those we love. In a relationship, we are nourishment for each other. So we have to select the kind of food we offer the other person. The kind of food that can help our relationships thrive. Everything, including love, hate, and suffering, needs food to continue. If suffering continues, it's because we keep feeding our suffering. Every time we speak without mindful awareness, we are feeding our suffering. With mindful awareness, we can look into the nature of our suffering and find out what kind of food we have been supplying to keep it alive. When we find the source of nourishment for our suffering, we can cut off that supply and our suffering will fade. Often, a romantic relationship begins beautifully, but then, because we don't know how to nourish our love, the relationship begins to die. Communication can bring it back to life. Every thought you produce in your head, in your heart, in China they say in your belly, feeds that relationship. When you produce a thought that carries suspicion, anger, fear, irritation, that thought is not nourishing to you or to the other person. If the relation has become difficult, it's just because we have nourished our judgment and our anger, and we haven't nourished our compassion. One day in Plum Village, the French retreat center where I live, I gave a talk about how we need to nourish our loved ones by practicing loving communication. I spoke about our relationship as flowers that need watering with loving communication to grow. There was a woman sitting near the front who was crying the whole time. After we talked, I went to her husband and I said, "My dear friend, your flower needs some watering." Her husband had been at the talk and knew about loving speech. But sometimes we all need a friend to remind us. So, after lunch, the man took his wife for a drive in the country. They just kind of had an hour or so, but he focused on watering the good seeds the whole drive. When they came back, she seemed completely transformed, very happy and joyful. The children were very surprised because in the morning when their parents had left, they'd been sad and irritable. So in just an hour, you can transform another person and yourself. Just with the practice of watering the good seeds, this is applied mindfulness in action. This is no theoretical. Nourishing and healing communication is the food for our relationship. Sometimes one cruel utterance can make the other person suffer for many years, and will suffer for many years too. In a state of anger or fear, we may say something that can be poisonous and destructive. If we swallow poison, it can stay within us for a long time, slowly killing our relationship. We may not even know what we said or did that started to poison the relationship. But we have the antidote: mindful compassion and loving communication. Love, respect, and friendship all need food to survive. With mindfulness, we can produce thoughts, speech, and actions that will feed our relationship and help them grow and thrive. Chapter 2, communicating with yourself. Loneliness is the suffering of our time. Even if we're surrounded by others, we can feel very alone. We're lonely together. There's a vacuum inside us. It makes us feel uncomfortable. So we try to fill it up by connecting with other people. We believe that if we're able to connect, the feeling of loneliness will disappear. Technology supplies us with many devices to help us stay connected. But even when we're connected, we continue to feel lonely. We check our emails and text messages and post updates several times a day. We want to share and receive. We might spend our whole day connecting, but not reduce the loneliness we feel. We all hunger for love, but we don't know how to generate love in order to feed ourselves with it. When we are empty, we use technology to try to dissipate the feeling of loneliness. But it doesn't work. We have the internet, email, video conferencing, texting and posting, apps, letters, and cell phones. We have everything. And yet, it is not all certain that we have improved our communication. Many of us have cell phones. We want to be in touch with other people. But we shouldn't put too much faith in our phones. I don't have one, but I don't feel out of touch with the world. In fact, without a mobile device, I have more time for myself or others. You believe that having your phone helps to communicate? But if the content of your speech is not authentic, talking or texting on a device doesn't mean you are communicating with another person. We believe too much in the technologies of communication. Behind all these instruments, we have the mind, the most fundamental instrument for communication. If our minds are blocked, there is no device that will make up our inability to communicate with ourselves or others. Connecting internally. Many of us spend a lot of time in meetings or emails with others, and not a lot of time communicating with ourselves. The result is that we don't know what is going on within us. It may be a mess inside. How, then, can we communicate with another person? We think that with our technological devices we can connect, but this is an illusion. In daily life, we are disconnected from ourselves. We walk, but we don't know where we're walking. We are here, but we don't know what we hear. We're alive, but we don't know that we are alive. Throughout the day, we lose ourselves. To stop and communicate with yourself is a revolutionary act. You sit down and stop that state of being lost, of not being yourself. You begin by just stopping whatever you're doing, sitting down and connecting with yourself. This is called Mindful Awareness. Try it out for 10 minutes. Put your cell phone. Put it away. Put a chronometer. Put 10 minutes. Breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Feel everything around you. See what you have around you. No messages. No nobody. No talks. Feel the life. Feel alive. All right, guys. I hope this is the end of our podcast for today. This is the first chapter of the first part of our book. We're going to keep it up with this. And we're going to continue having all this amazing content. Thank you very much. And I hope you have a beautiful, wonderful, magnificent, blissful day. Remember, this podcast is just where well-minded people gather. Blessings.